Greg Kelly. The latest breaking news and opinions. Entertaining and informative.
Well, happy 4th of July, huh? How old is America? 1776, 200 and, oh boy, 46 years old, I think, right? 246 years old. What a country. I think, kinda, I mean, pretty much, sort of, used to be, I guess. I don't know. I love this country. I love, but we're in big trouble right now. Happy birthday to what? Our heritage? Well, got half of America who wants to erase it. Half of America wants us to pretend that we are fundamentally a bad place, an evil place. I don't know. No wonder why the celebrations seem kind of muted this time around, right? I do believe America's great. We got a great constitution. We have great people. Although we seem to be at each other's throats, provoked in part by the far left, by social media, by leftist politicians who are just trying to reimagine America, turn us into some sort of weirdo socialist place. Some of them are really out to ruin it. I mean, it's just, boy. I mean, look, I just walked here. Beautiful day. Wasn't hassled. I was only hassled once on the street. No big deal. But I don't know. It just does not. It feels off. Is it part? I don't know. Maybe it's because it's a Monday, July 4th, Monday. Hey, we just had a horrible shooting, it looks like, in Illinois at a July 4th parade. A mass shooting. We don't know what the deal is yet. There was a parade. Let me know when we have this. You'll hear some. Okay, Highland Park. Where is it? Right outside of Chicago, right? There's a 4th of July parade. We have a video of a woman enjoying the parade. It looks like the Boy Scouts are walking by. And then you got to listen carefully, but you hear bang, 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 bang. And like a lot of times when you hear that stuff from a block or two away, is it a car? Is that a bass drum? It doesn't sound necessarily like gunfire right off the bat, but it. Yeah, it just continues. The shooting seems to be over. Let me have what we have. This is what we got right now. Multiple people were shot at a 4th of July parade in Highland Park, Illinois. This is in the New York Post. One congressman, Bob Morgan, said that he was at the parade and there were multiple injuries. A video by an apparent witness, you just heard it, shows people fleeing the sound of gunfire. Witnesses told the Chicago Sun-Times they saw at least five people lying on the ground in pools of blood and another under a blanket. Middle of the day, beautiful scene, a July 4th parade in the suburbs of Chicago. Now, what's going to happen? Well, number one, we hope nobody died. We hope these injuries are minimal, but we don't know yet for sure. If it gets worse, that's a horrible thing. Now, will this be a big story? Well, it should be, right? But it will be a big, big, big story if somehow they can figure out the gunman was white, and then they can talk about white supremacy, and then they can talk about gun control. However, if this shooter should be a person of color, this will be swept under the rug very, very quickly. Just pretend that it didn't happen, because it does not further any narratives that they want to push right now. It's kind of amazing, actually, but one of two things is going to happen. This is going to be one of the biggest stories in the country for the next 36, 48 hours, or this is going to evaporate. If it evaporates, you'll know that the shooter was a person of color. If it expands and it's big, it's quite frankly, I wish that we could. The story is big, period. It is. If people died, it's going to get bigger. But again, it's the color of the shooter. It's the color of the shooter. I can almost guarantee it's a man. We haven't had one mass. Have we had one mass shooter that's a woman in the past 5 years? I mean, I'm sure we have, but these things do tend to fit a certain. Well, mass shooters, serial killers also happen to just tend to be men, but it's kind of incredible that you'll like. Look, here's a case in point. Waukesha, Wisconsin. Now, who remembers that? Was it Waukesha? Yes, the mass killer who took a car and drove over people at the Christmas parade. Do you remember that? Good chance you don't, because, well, it wasn't an act of white supremacy. It happened to be a black man who may have been motivated by black identity extremism. His social media profile would certainly suggest as much, and once that became apparent, that story just evaporated. It's really, really incredible, isn't it? Anyway, that's a bit of a downer. Happy July 4th anyway. So is Donald Trump running for president? There's all kinds of word out there that he's thinking about announcing as today for president. That would be a record. I mean, what, 2.5 years before the election? It actually happened once before when he was inaugurated president. I think the next day he said, I'm running for re-election and we're setting up this committee. And they basically started right away. I think it would be a mistake for him to declare today or anytime soon. He's got to wait until after the midterm elections for a couple of reasons. Number one, if he declares, it will be all about him, a referendum on Trump. We can have a referendum on Trump, but that should wait until 2 years from now, 2.5 years from now, when he runs for president, right? Okay, when he seeks the nomination. Then let's have the referendum on Trump. And by the way, in my book, he passes that referendum. But we have so many kind of fertile issues, right? Now, that can work for Republicans. Why does he want to go in there? Why doesn't he just wait and see what happens? He's endorsing people left and right. He's very much active in this campaign cycle. But if he runs, it becomes a referendum on him. And I don't think we need that right now. The conditions are such that the Republicans should win massively, massively on their own without Trump. And by the way, here's something else. I want to say that DeSantis, I really hope he doesn't run. Every time, all weekend long, I'm hearing people saying, oh, DeSantis, he's really good. It should be him. He's like Trump without the baggage. No, he's not, actually. And Trump has baggage, but it's artificial baggage, but the media have given it to him. And guess what? They give it to Ron DeSantis as well. They give it to Ron DeSantis. Let's see here. Well, number one, the guy is amazing, right? I mean, he's just, listen to this. Cut one, if you don't mind, from the A block. Cut one.
We can either have a free society or we can have a biomedical security state. And I can tell you, Florida, we're a free state. People are going to be free to choose to make their own decisions. If you're coming after the rights of parents in Florida, I'm standing in your way. I'm not going to let you get away with it.
No one should lose their job over these shots. I think we want to protect people's jobs.
What critics call the Don't Say Gay bill is on the Senate floor.
Does it say that in the bill?
No, that you support.
Does it say that in the bill?
I'm asking you
to tell me what's in the bill because you are pushing false narratives. It doesn't matter what critics say.
I don't care what corporate media outlets say. I don't care what Hollywood says. I don't care what big corporations say. Here I stand. I'm not backing down.
I love it. I love it. Let's face it, though, he's copying Trump. That's okay. But Trump invented this kind of in-your-face politics. He really did. And just to hell with the mainstream media, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. That's Trump. He's copying Trump in style and substance. That's okay. But I think Trump deserves it. I really do. The other thing about DeSantis is if he should run, it's not going to be like, oh, he's like Trump without the baggage. They're going to give him baggage like that. They already have, actually. You know, DeSantis is a pretty clean-cut guy. No problems. The so-called Don't Say Gay bill is not Don't Say Gay. It just means that substitute teachers can't have private, weirdo conversations with students who are not their children, okay, about matters of sex before the fourth grade. I don't think any reasonable person in the world would disagree with this or think it's a bad idea. But that very reasonable policy has turned him into a monster, monster with the left. Listen to this. Cut three.
I hope it's not DeSantis over in Florida because I think he's
what
a fascist.
What do you call him, DeSantis?
DeSantis. I think he handled COVID miserably. I think he's a fascist and a bigot.
Yes, Ron DeSantis is terrible.
Speaking of the worst people in public office, Florida governor and man describing what Adele's music means to him. Ron DeSantis.
This DeSantis character, and it needs to be said, is a scary dude. I mean, this is the Republican Party is becoming the anti-freedom party, is the anti-American party.
They're going to say it about whomever is the standard bearer, okay? They will say it again about anyone. Me, you, DeSantis, anyone. They're already saying it about Trump. They're already saying it about DeSantis. Whoever steps forward to lead the right, the conservative movement, will get tagged like that. Hey, back to Illinois, at least nine people shot at the July 4th parade now, according to Fox News. We have any indication of fatalities? We don't. Everyone is playing that video I played for you a moment ago. This is on top of the wild night that Chicago had last night. I saw cops under fire. They're being pummeled with fireworks, bombarded with fireworks. Just, and they're in their police cars, and you have huge throngs of people. Now, apparently the people were upset that the cops disrupted their party, and their party was doing traffic donuts. When did this become such a big deal, doing the traffic donuts in the street? I've noticed it more and more over the past couple of years. I mean, I saw it like in Grease Lightning in 1975, and now I see it yesterday. Why? What's so fun about doing donuts in the street? What is that all about? So the cops come. They disrupt their motor derby, and they're upset, and they fire fireworks right at the dash, right at the hood of a cop car, and it explodes right in their faces. Can I hear that, please? The first clip? You got it? Yes, no. Try it again. No, that's the other thing. Did you guys get that other thing yet? All right, you let me know. So, nine. Ooh, tough stuff. Give me a call if you want. The phone lines are open on this crazy July 4th. It's crazy again because it's being under-celebrated, and it's a Monday. I don't ever remember July 4th on a Monday. The first 4th of July I ever remember was Operation Sail, 1976. It was beautiful. They brought in ships from all over the world. It makes Fleet Week look like a rowboat contest. It's not good anymore. It's not good. One other thing about Ron DeSantis is I mentioned the copycat stuff of Donald Trump, but it's part of his very political identity. I mean, he actually said out loud, "I'm copying Donald Trump." Listen to this, if you would. Cut four.
Everyone knows my husband, Ron DeSantis, is endorsed by President Trump, but he's also an amazing dad. Ron loves playing with the kids.
Build the wall.
He reads stories.
Then Mr. Trump said, "You're fired." I love that part.
He's teaching Madison to talk.
Make America great again.
People say Ron's all Trump, but he is so much more.
Big league. So good.
I just thought you should know.
Ron DeSantis for governor.
Is this guy really going to run against Trump? He better not. What's up? Oh, it's time? All right, give me a moment. Let's find out. I really hope no one died in this Highland Park, Illinois situation could it get more beautiful than that? A July 4th celebration? Some nut job just opened fire. The suspect, they say, the shooter. Stop saying the suspect. The shooter is still at large. We know somebody shot. All right, they never know how to use this word suspect. Once you catch the guy, you call him a suspect. But right now there is a shooter at large. Just shot up a 4th of July parade. That's not imagination. That really happened. So stop calling him a suspect. Call him the shooter, okay? I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly. On the Red Apple Podcast Network. This is the Greg Kelly Show.
No more information yet. Still reporting nine people shot outside of Chicago at this Highland Park July 4th parade. Great occasion, and I saw some video, people enjoying a very typical kind of all-American parade, and all of a sudden gunfire starts. Nine shot. We don't know about fatalities or anything like that. And then just all of Chicago seems to be totally screwed up and on edge. Last night, I told you about those donuts that were being performed by vandalist drivers, and then the cops show up, and then they start pelting the cops with fireworks. Listen to this. Sounds like Baghdad. Boom. That sounds like war. I guess it is. They're firing at cops, the good guys. One of these rocket/firecrackers lands right on the hood of a cop car. Now, some on the left will tell us, oh, this is understandable. The community is fighting back against the oppressive racist police, right? Sure. That's what I hear on MSNBC all day long. All right, let's turn it off. Oh, boy. That's what I hear all the time, that this is somehow a natural reaction. No, it's not. It's a perverted, corrupt reaction. And they have been radicalized, I believe, by the left and by mainstream media to see the cops as this illegal occupying force. That's not America. That's not the America we know and love. Meanwhile, in Chicago, what's happening? The same people, I suspect, the same people who are lobbing those fireworks at the cops, some of them, just some of them, may be responsible for gunplay in the streets of Chicago. Gunplay that has resulted in the death of so many children, the deaths of so many children. Little babies. Isn't that awful? It happens all the time. But no one ever cares. No one seems to care. No one cares about black lives. I keep hearing Black Lives Matter. I'm like, really? Really? Well, then why don't you ever talk or wonder or express your concern for the black children? Why not? Who are shot at McDonald's, who are shot in the head. And we're talking about 4, 5, 6-year-olds. Happens all the time. And here's why you don't hear about it. The mainstream, the left, they don't care about those lives. They truly don't. They only care when a black life is taken by a white cop. And then you can exploit it. And then you can possibly achieve power or make money off of it. You guys know what I'm talking about? Jennifer is in. Are you in Virginia? Jennifer, hello.
Yes. Hi, Greg. Thanks for taking my call and happy Independence Day.
Terrific. Hi. Where in Virginia are you?
Great Falls in Fairfax County.
Yeah, right outside of D.C. There's a great, nice, beautiful mall there, right? Don't you guys have a beautiful shopping mall? Anyway, skip that. What's up?
Well, I wanted to call about the Trump versus DeSantis discussion. I heard your show on Friday.
Yeah.
And I also heard your comments today.
And
I just wanted to weigh in on that.
So
I liked President Trump. I thought he was a good president. He had good policies. And if he's the nominee in 2024, I would gladly vote for him again. But he is not my first choice. And I really hope he will not run. I really like DeSantis. He's a lot younger. He does emulate Trump a lot in the style. But I think, and to your point on Friday, he's a politician. And that's exactly it. He knows how to play the game.
Oh, does he? Are you sure about that? Listen, I want to come back to you. You just said one thing. You said he's younger. He's younger. So what's so good about that? What difference does that make? Well, why do you think that's an advantage?
Well, it seems like on the Democratic side, all of their top candidates are octogenarians, and that's just really not playing out well right now.
Oh, skip that. I mean, we all know that Joe Biden, you know, is not aging well and that kind of thing. But I just want you to tell me what is good about DeSantis being 43 years old. How do you benefit from that?
Well, I think it shows that he might be able to stick around a lot longer and also groom the next generation of conservative leaders, which we really need. And Trump, he looks great. He's got a lot of good energy right now, but he's 76 years old, and in 2 years he'll be 78, and then presuming that he does win and has another term, he would be 82.
So it's just an age. So it's just an age thing. I mean, let's face it. I mean, the energy that Trump has is superhuman strength. It's superhuman. We've never seen anything like it. And quite frankly, he seems to be getting younger. But, you know, here's the thing that I don't like about DeSantis, and I don't like, quite frankly, about any young person who seeks the presidency. He has young kids. And I think as a younger person, you are designed, like genetically, at a primal level to take care of your family before the country. I can see DeSantis not being worried about what comes next. Seriously. Obama, he had to worry about his family first, not the country. Trump, his family was already set. He went into politics to get things done, not for fame and fortune. DeSantis went into politics in his early 30s. What do you think he was really thinking about? I don't know. Listen, there's a lot to like. Someday he will be president. I appreciate it so much, Jennifer. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Uh-oh. In the Highland Park, Chicago, outskirts of Chicago, 4th of July shooting, 5 killed, reportedly 5 killed, 16 victims taken to area hospitals. A shooting at a parade, I think within the past 90 minutes. Wow. Horrible, horrible. 5 killed in July 4th parade shooting. And it looks like the shooter is still at large. Has not been taken into custody. How crazy is that? Still out there somewhere. We hope this is resolved very soon. My gosh, you know. But then what will happen? What will happen? You'll watch. Keep an eye on this, okay? Prediction. And I hate it to put it in these terms, but this is reality of America right now, and I can prove it to you. Once the shooter is apprehended, and I hope they get him soon, and I am, I know it was a male, all right? I'm doing a little profiling here. The shooter in this case was a male, was a man. I think we had one mass shooter in American history. It was like in 1979, it was a female. It has happened, but it's very rare. If this shooter turns out to be a white male, this story will become 10 times bigger and will be sustained for several days. Why? Well, they will bend over backwards, or maybe not even bend over backwards. They're just saying that this is has white supremacy roots and all that kind of stuff, and this will renew the call for gun control and all that stuff, background checks. Now, if the shooter turns out to be a person of color, this story will evaporate. This story will go away. The motivations will be, well, they just won't talk about it. They'll just move on to the next thing. It'll be back to, what's her name, Cassidy Hutchinson and her allegations about Trump, right? January 6th. It's incredible. If they can somehow pin this on systemic racism, that's fine. As long as the victims fit their narrative and the shooter fits their narrative. Now I'm seeing 16 wounded, 5 dead. Do we have this? We have this video again from before. This is at the parade. You'll hear the gunshots. We believe you hear the gunshots in the very early part. You can tell people don't understand what they're hearing. Is it drums? Is it fireworks? Then it becomes apparent that it's actual gunfire, and all hell breaks loose. Well, people start running. Go ahead. Wow. What did she say? I can't believe I have to record this. And she's running away. It starts. I'm looking at the video right now. Just an ordinary parade. You have a bunch of kids marching, a marching band, and they're first they're just walking with their instruments, then the speed picks up, and then they're all out sprinting. and everybody's running around like crazy. Wow. What's going to happen next? We'll keep our eye on this. I hope you didn't have to travel anywhere because, fortunately, I just went to Long Island for like half a day. That's it. No traveling for me. And it was actually very nice. It was easy to get out there. Very little traffic. Because who wants to get into a plane when we have, it's just terrible, right? The cancellations, the pilot shortage. Listen to this. Cut 11, please. Cut 11.
Passengers caught in the chaos of new cancellations and staffing shortages.
More than 20,000 flights, 20,000 have been delayed this week alone.
A lot of planes just sitting there. Yeah. Let's talk about the travel troubles at airports nationwide. Delays and cancellations are wreaking havoc as we head into the July 4th holiday weekend.
Yep. And how are we going to fix that? What happened? What can be done? Joe Biden is the president of the United States. His secretary of transportation is Pete Buttigieg. What can they do? What is Pete Buttigieg good at? Who is Pete Buttigieg? He is the secretary of transportation. What are his talents? What are his skills? They're non-existent, other than marketing himself and getting his name out there. Talk about audacity. You know, I don't like to talk about white privilege because I think it's kind of bogus, except when it comes to Mayor Pete. This guy thought he could be president, go from mayor of South Bend, Indiana, population 800, to being president of the United States. Now, nobody can do that, right? Well, maybe not. Or maybe so. See, he had a little secret that wasn't a secret, that he was really pushing, actually. And it helped him catapult to the front of the pack. His sexuality, which makes absolutely no difference to you, me, or anybody who's sitting on a tarmac at Chicago O'Hare waiting to take off, doesn't help anybody if this guy is heterosexual or gay or who cares. But boy, oh boy, did they fall in love with the fact that he's gay. Cut 13.
Pete Buttigieg is the first major gay candidate ever.
Buttigieg, who is openly gay.
He's a Christian, a veteran. He's from the Midwest. And he's openly gay.
Okay, he's a Christian, he's a veteran, he's from the Midwest, and he's openly gay. Well, that really seemed to float his boat, but do the rest of us care? Of course not. Can he unscrew the supply chain? Can he call up the chairman of American Airlines and United and Delta and figure out what the hell's going on and fix it? No, he doesn't know those kinds of things. He doesn't know who these people are. And what's more, they don't respect him. They don't respect him. Now, people will tell me, well, you know, he went to Harvard. Harvard? Ever see that movie Quiz Show? Every time it comes up that Professor Van Dorn went to Harvard and that guy goes, Harvard? It doesn't matter. I'll show you any office building in Manhattan where there's a law firm. 60% of the law firms, some of them went to Harvard. No. What was cute about this is that he's gay. That's what was cute. That's what made this thing. That's what was special, that he was gay. What does that mean to you and me? Again, zero. How about Joe Biden? What skills does he have? What skill does he bring to the table? We're all seeing this. Did you see over the weekend, he said, I call on gas stations to lower the prices. He just called on gas station owners to lower the prices. Excuse me? You know, some of these are mom and pop operators. You're just going to call on that, right? He knows nothing. He only knows how to smile, ask for favors, and ask for money. And here he is describing himself. This is when he got to the United States Senate. It's amazing footage. You got to find it. I got to put it on my Twitter, at Greg Kelly USA. In 1974, he shows up at a town hall meeting, and he's smiling his ass off, kind of just so smug that he can't believe he won the thing. Listen to what he says about himself and how the system works. Cut 12.
See, I went to the big guys for the money. I was ready to prostitute myself.
I went to the big guys for the money. What happened next was he said, you're too young, kid. Come back later. But he was ready to play ball. Prostitute himself. Hey, something here in New York. You've been to a bodega, right? Sure, we've all had to go to a bodega at one time or another. Now, a couple of things about bodegas. They're kind of unique to New York, right? What are they? They're small, I don't know, hole-in-the-wall grocery stores. I mean, they're not particularly nice, but they're, you know, a certain charm, I guess. I personally don't mind seeing the cat in the bodega. It's kind of, you know, sometimes it might freak somebody out. What is a cat doing around all this food? I guess they chase mice. Bodega are sometimes in Spanish neighborhoods, I guess, right? I don't know. Look, you go in there for if you need something and it's emergency and you happen to be in that area, you go in there. We know it as New Yorkers what bodegas are and what they're good for. But if you're coming from out of town and you're living in New York City, you see one of these things and you want to go grocery shopping, you might be a little bit taken aback. And that's what happened to this kid. His name is Griffin. He moved to New York City not too long ago for a job in tech. And he got himself an apartment he could afford, which was in the Bronx. And he goes shopping. And he can't believe, you know, he's like, well, where the hell's the Kroger? Where's the A&P? Where's the Pathmark? He goes to the grocery store. There are no grocery stores in his neighborhood. And this is actually a serious issue. They call it food deserts, that there aren't enough grocery stores in low-income neighborhoods, in part because there's too much shoplifting, oh, by the way. So he goes into a bodega, and he can't believe what he's seeing. He's like, what the hell's going on? So like any millennial, or what's younger than a millennial? Gen Z? I think he's 22. And he says, he narrates his little trip into a bodega. Listen to this. Cut 15.
Okay, so I just moved to New York, and I'm trying to go grocery shopping. And so I type in, like, grocery stores on my Apple Maps. And, like, every one I go to, like, I'm walking, too. Like, they're like this, or like this. Like, bro, that's not a grocery store. Like, I'm trying to get, like, eggs, yogurt, like, cheese, like that, right? Like, look at this place. I've literally been to like five of those now, and like I don't know what the f I'm about to do for dinner. Like, where are the Krogers and like the Whole Foods at? Like, I'm about to eat like cereal and ramen for dinner. Like, what?
Okay, now we don't necessarily approve of the language, but this is how kids talk, and he brings out his video, and it totally makes sense to me, and he can't understand this aisle in the bodega is about 18 inches wide. You know, he's used to Kroger. He's used to these beautiful grocery stores, Harris Teeter. You know, I lived outside of New York for 9 years when I was in the military. You go to these grocery stores, they're beautiful. They're beyond. They're just, and they're in all kinds of neighborhoods. You know, rich people shop there, poor people shop there. They're magnificent. You could eat off the floor. They're just, and they have anything in the world you could ever want. And they are really nice. So we don't have those here in New York City, right? Well, you got Trader Joe's. I guess you got some Whole Foods, but not in the neighborhood where he is. I think he's in the South Bronx. So guess what happens? The social media mob sees this video and they start saying he's a racist. Oh, what a bigot. He doesn't, you know, they just start yelling at him because why? Why? Because he happens to be white and he happens to be critical of an institution that is largely run by people of color. You can't do that these days. Oh, boy. So he works for some company, and the company puts out a bunch of statements saying, we are looking into this, and we do not support his views, and we will get back to you shortly, and we are all for diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's a company called Outreach. So he's under review. He's under review. And then another video emerges. Now he's in the Bronx going to the gym. And, well, let me, where is this thing? Cut 16.
To the McDonald's gym for my second workout in New York. Got shoulders and arms today. I'm in the Bronx for a few weeks, so I'm like the only white dude in this whole gym. So I got this NAACP shirt, so these people vibe with me more.
Okay, so this kid's like a real gym rat. He's in really good shape and this kind of thing, so working out is important to him. Yeah, I heard exactly what he said. He's a white guy, and he's like, I'm the only white guy in this neighborhood, and I'm going to a gym, and I'm the only white guy at the gym, so I'm going to wear an NAACP shirt to fit in. Now, is that necessarily politically correct? No. Is it racist? No. If you took a person of color, let's say you took a black guy, and you put him in the middle of Greenwich, Connecticut, and he started saying the same kind of stuff. Well, I'm the only black guy in Greenwich, Connecticut. Wow. So I put on this MAGA t-shirt so I'll just fit in. Get it? Ha ha. Yeah, I could get it. Right. Whatever. Okay, sure. I get where you're coming from, and I get where this kid is coming from. But it was too much for the woke left. And Outreach, the company named Outreach, apparently it's some sort of digital tech thing. where he was a salesperson. They fired the guy. They fired him because they do not support his values or our values or diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's fine. He wasn't condemning anything. He was kind of celebrating it in his own way, just marveling at, you know, the uniqueness of New York. It's a unique place. It's okay. You can say this stuff. It's a free country, right? July 4th, 1776. Isn't this supposed to be a free country? You know, the government may not be cracking down on free speech, but your employer is. Is it a free country? I mean, is it really a free country? Don't we have rights? Was that affecting the bottom line of outreach, whatever the hell that is? Do they really have to do it? No. You know what? These executives, they get scared. They get scared. They get so frightened. 8 people are talking about us on social media. Ah, what do they want? They want us to fire him. Fire him! Get rid of him! That kind of thing. Now, there's one small outside chance, because this kid is so good at what he's doing here in these videos, that somehow, is he a prankster? Is he trying to fool everybody here? He's already reached out to me on social media. He calls himself now the Bodega Bro. Now, being a bro is not necessarily cool these days. Yeah, they're after him. And, you know, for some reason I thought of, they cancel this guy. And Pete Buttigieg, just for whatever reason, it reminded me of the Bubba Wallace thing. Remember that false alarm? Bubba Wallace, the NASCAR driver. They found a piece of string in the garage. Do you remember that huge freak out cut 14?
Breaking overnight, a shocking discovery. A noose is found in the Talladega Super Speedway garage stall of Bubba Wallace, NASCAR's only black driver.
Driven by hate, a noose is found in the garage of Bubba Wallace, NASCAR's only full-time black driver.
We're also following breaking news involving NASCAR. A noose was found in the garage stall of Bubba Wallace, the sport's only top-tier black driver.
We're going to move on now to that powerful show of solidarity today after a noose was found hanging in the garage of Bubba Wallace, NASCAR's only full-time driver who was black.
Yeah, the reports were not as breathless when they found out it wasn't a noose. It was literally a piece of string. It was a piece of string. National news. See, non-racism is big. True racism is not big. Keep your eye on this thing in Wisconsin. I'm sorry, in Chicago. Highland Falls, right outside of Chicago. At this point, 5 people dead. 16 injured. A horrible shooting at a July 4th parade. And we still don't have the shooter in custody. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You guys have not gotten rid of that silly Bo Dietl commercial. Bo Dietl says so many great things. Why do you have to run the one clip where he says, Trump should not run. It should be my friend DeSantis. DeSantis has got no baggage. He's going to unite the country. No, he's not. He can't. You can't give in to the left. That's what they're trying to do with this Cassidy Hutchinson nonsense. Did you believe that? I went to a dinner party on Saturday night. Everyone's, oh, she was amazing. Cassidy Hutchinson was amazing. As if it was a performance. Well, I guess it was a performance. Cassidy Hutchinson. Why was she so amazing? Well, because she was, had a thin, angular face, because she was attractive, because she was tan and had long legs. Yeah, that's it. Oh, and she bashed Trump. Go ahead.
I first noticed there was ketchup dripping down the wall, and there was a shattered porcelain plate on the floor. The valet had articulated that the president was extremely angry at the Attorney General's AP interview and had thrown his lunch against the wall.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He threw his lunch against the wall. The valet, according to the valet had articulated to Cassidy. Okay, you mean he told you, right? Yeah, no, he articulated that to me. This is why she was so amazing, because she used big words when small words would have done just fine. Everybody ate this crap up, except for me, by the way. So do not believe what they're trying to do is create so much dirt, a cloud over Trump, just trying to dirty him up so people are fatigued. They're doing the same thing to DeSantis, to your precious DeSantis, okay? Again, Cut three, please.
I hope it's not DeSantis over in Florida, because I think he's a fascist.
DeSantis?
DeSantis. I think he handled COVID miserably. I think he's a fascist and a bigot.
Yes, Ron DeSantis is terrible.
Speaking of the worst people in public office, Florida governor and man describing what Adele's music means to him, Ron DeSantis.
This DeSantis character, and it needs to be said, is a scary dude. I mean, this is the Republican Party is becoming the anti-freedom party, is the anti-American party.
You can't unite these crazy left-wing lunatics on TV. That was Donnie Deutsch, by the way. Why do they keep putting him on? And then they got Stephen Colbert, who really, quite frankly, is an all-out kook. I don't like that guy at all anymore. He used to be clever, used to be kind of, no, not anymore. And he uses religion, I think, in a very cynical way, you know? And that's a lost opportunity. Gracie in Rockland. Hi, Gracie.
Hi. God bless America. That's my greeting to you for the 4th.
Love it.
Okay, now, a couple of things. Number one, what you said about DeSantis is 100% true.
Yeah.
Why? Years ago, everybody loved McCain. Oh, why don't they nominate him? They nominated him in 2008, and then he became bad. All right? And they all went for Obama. These people are hypocrites, and I'm tired of people saying common sense Democrats, if you get my gist. There are no common sense Democrats. The old Democrats have become Republicans. The only common sense, quote, Democrats are the ones that are holding on because they want to be reelected. But anybody with half a brain cannot be a Democrat. Now, yesterday I was in the supermarket. I'll make it fast because I know it's not my show. And I don't know, you know, an older person like me, I was just 75. And, you know, we're talking, things are bad. I like to get, when you're online, the lines were so damn long.
All right.
Okay. The long and the short was, oh, yeah, but I'd never vote for the one was worse, meeting Trump. I says, why was he worse? Oh, he did things. I says, oh, listen, I want to know. What did he do that was so bad? I thought things were good. No, in the past. I said, look to the future, not to the past. These people are dumb.
All right, calm down. Listen, dumb, you know, look, a lot of them have been lied to. A lot of them, quite frankly, Gracie, are not as attuned as we are. They're not watching this stuff. They're not watching the videos. They're not watching the Trump rallies. If you were fed a steady diet of what the mainstream media told you about Trump, you might think he's a monster as well. You might. You might fall for it because you got other things to do. That's why I tell people, watch the rallies in their totality. In fact, on this July 4th, everybody should watch, whether you like them or not, watch the July 4th Mount Rushmore speech. I believe it will go down in history as one of the greatest speeches a president ever did. So one thing there, Gracie, I wouldn't say that person's dumb. They just might be checked out. They might be relying on the mainstream media to tell them, and the mainstream media is telling them one false thing after another. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, but I have no patience anymore.
Well, come on. Let's give him a chance. Give him a chance. I appreciate it, Gracie. Why don't you have any patience anymore?
Me? Because I'm old, and old people don't have patience anymore.
Well,
we've been around the block enough time.
I understand. Time is precious. Ooh, I'm out of time. I'll be back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Oh, man, yikes. How many people? 6 people killed in this Highland Park, Illinois shooting. Mass shooting at a parade. 6 people killed, 31 injured. Man, it's getting worse. It's getting worse. At least 24 to 31 injured, 6 dead at a beautiful 4th of July parade. Now, we have a little bit of information about the alleged shooter, described as a white male, aged 18 to 20 years old, black hair, slight build. That's CNN right there. So a couple of things. Number one, we want this guy caught. Now that you know it happens to be a white male, this story will receive the attention, quite frankly, it deserves. This is a big deal, and it should be covered. Now, as we have seen, though, if a mass shooter or a killer happens to be too often if it happens to be black, they downplay the story and it goes away. One great example happens to be the Christmas Day massacre. That nut job in the car drove down those people. He was a, well, an African-American dude, and he killed white people. And as soon as that was discovered, that story evaporated. That story, he was allegedly motivated by the exoneration of Rittenhouse, Kyle Rittenhouse, you know, the guy who, the Kenosha shooter, right? That kid, I believe, was innocent. So how about this? Hey, do me a favor. Let's send in, just when she gets a chance, have her drop by. I'd love to. And let's play that video, if you don't mind, one more time. This is, again, this is the only one. I've been watching cable news here, and this is the video they keep playing. You'll hear the first moments of parade, and then the shooting, and then you hear screaming. They can't tell. It's a problem at first, all right? Go ahead, if you don't mind. You hear the gunshots? And she's running away. Wow.
I can't believe that.
Bad news. Bad news. We have all kinds of officials who are speaking out. We'll have some more of that in just a moment. Let's see here. Here's some guy. Looks like he's in the SWAT team speaking to assembled reporters. We heard from the mayor of Highland. I guess they don't have all that much to say. I'm surprised that the guy got away, that there's a guy on the loose right now with a gun. That is, that's kind of weird, right? I mean, you know, these cops, these events are heavily policed. So we'll keep our eye on that. This is a mass shooting. What is a mass shooting technically? I think it's six or more fatalities, right? Six or more fatalities. Hey, while I got you, one more time. Hey, is Jacqueline Carl available yet? Oh, good. Jacqueline Carl's been monitoring all this. You heard her just a few moments ago. Jacqueline, huh? Bad news. Another mass shooting. It seems like we have these things all the time, don't we? Where is Highland Park? It's right outside of Chicago, pretty much, right?
Greg, if I could just sit down for a second.
Breaking news. Need you. So, suburb of Chicago, and like 10 minutes outside the town.
Yeah.
And you hear this, they got a suspect. He's a white guy, 18 to 20 years old, black hair, slight build. And it's interesting. Some networks are making a big deal out of it. Some have already moved on. New York One, I guess they're doing their taped programming.
Yeah.
Anything that I haven't pointed out that needs to be pointed out?
All right, well, the number keeps climbing, unfortunately. Now we have six dead, at least 24 hospitalized, and witnesses, including some of the Sun-Times reporters, say they saw bloodied bodies covered with blankets as hundreds ran for safety. This parade started at 10 a.m. today and was stopped 10 minutes later. That's when the shots started from, they say, a man that was on top of a building.
Oh, he's on top of a building. That's
That's what they said. He was on top of a building
like
or
a
structure.
Like a sniper.
Wait, just waiting apparently for this parade to start, because 10 minutes in, it started.
I wonder if he got his idea from the Waukesha thing, the Christmas parade where they had that madman drive his car into all the marchers and the people who were watching the parade. I mean, it's not that far, Chicago from Waukesha, Wisconsin. It's relatively close.
I feel like they all get their ideas from each other. Like, it's sort of like a domino effect now, where it just keeps happening.
Yeah, and what do they say? It happens in threes. Now it seems to happen in threes, sixes, nines, thirteens. It's just never ending.
It's really tough. And to see the pictures of the people and the abandoned chairs and the baby blankets, all these people were just gathered together to just have a nice little celebration.
Yeah, I know, for a parade, for crying out loud. You get to go from, you know, relatively speaking, paradise. It doesn't get much more enjoyable than American life than a 4th of July parade, to go from that to all-out horror in just a few moments, a split second. It's tough stuff. Well, very sorry to report this. I'm just curious, though. Do you think 4th of July, my gosh, is it me, or does it seem less emphasized than ever before? There's something kind of like not a big deal about this 4th of July. It's almost like it's just the 4th day of July. It doesn't seem like a big occasion somehow.
I hope that's not true. It just feels like there's just, honestly, I've been reporting for a long time, and it feels like I'm reporting much more violence than I used to. More frequent, bigger crowds, like on a larger scale.
Certainly this kind of violence. We're seeing more mass shootings. We haven't seen crime like this in New York City in a long time.
No.
Well, let's change the subject. Give me a good, you know, I'm going to start. A good 4th of July memory for me was going to Breezy Point in Queens. That's where my grandparents lived. My cousins, the Blairs, had a nice bungalow on Jamaica Walk. And we would go, usually get there. We'd spend about a week there. And 4th of July was so intense. I mean, man, the fireworks. And then they built these huge bonfires on the beach. It was wild. It started a lifelong and probably unhealthy fascination with fireworks. Not the kind you go watch, you know, the professionals do, but I'm talking about, you know, throwing firecrackers into the fire, M80s, bottle rockets, all that stuff. And I love it. I still love it. How about you?
My best 4th of July was when I was very little, and we'd spend them at the beach. And the biggest thing that ever happened on days like this is the next day you'd hear like a kid might have gotten hurt, blowing, you know, using fireworks. Now, look. But yes, you're right. Getting back to the good stuff.
No, you're right. Now you make me think of all the horror stories.
No.
I mean, one of the horror stories from when I was a child was a kid on Irving Walk, which is basically the next walk over from Jamaica. Stepped on a sparkler.
Oh, those are the harmless ones.
Burned his foot.
Oh.
That was the worst thing that happened on 4th of July. And
right?
I remember hearing about it like, ooh, that sounds really bad.
Mm.
You know, to step on a sparkler.
Right.
And they were a lot of fun. But no, those, I guess, were the good old days. Things are different. I don't know if I'd go to a parade anymore. Why?
I know. It's very unnerving. I never used to feel the way I feel now when I'm in crowds and things like that. I don't know what it is. I do know what it is. It's because I keep hearing about all this violence.
Now, we in the media, though, sometimes, as you know,
yeah.
I mean, you know.
Occupational hazard.
Not an occupational. Well, do you think at times we hype it? Are we guilty of hype? Are we guilty of emphasizing the negative? I mean, most people will go, even with this horrible uptick. Well, I'm going to make some exceptions. In New York, you will see violence sooner or later.
Yeah.
But, you know, you probably won't see a mass shooting. And who's to say anymore? I don't know what the numbers actually mean. Maybe you will ultimately see a mass shooting. I don't know. Maybe we can't say that anymore. Maybe we're not hyping it. I used to think that they were hyping it all the time. I don't think we're hyping it anymore.
I'm not hyping it. I was hoping to come in today and talk mainly about fun things and celebrations and the Nathan's hot dog winner. You know, that's what I was hoping for today.
Who won that thing, by the way? Hungry Heifer? What was that guy's name?
My producer... Phil Dixon did my sports report, and honestly, he was talking about it. Is he in there, Diego?
What? Well, do me a favor. It was today?
It was today. I'll find out for you.
So, I once won.
It's a guy who always wins. Go ahead.
Yeah, that guy. The big guy. He's a professional competitive eater. He's a full-time competitive eater. They do something really gross and unappealing to me, though. They wet the bun.
Right, I know.
They put the bun in a little glass of water, and then they swallow the bun. It's all soggy. Joey Chestnut. He won again?
Yeah, he did.
What about the Black Widow? There's this woman from Maryland. She wins the women's category all the time.
I don't know if that one's done yet. But yeah, I think she took off 1 year for a pregnancy. And she's, I don't know. I can't even imagine how they do it. But I do. I see them dipping it in water and just, I don't know. But God love them. They make it an entertaining time for us for 4th of July.
You know, I once finished third place in a competitive eating contest.
Tell me, what did you have to eat?
Hooters wings. And I placed third out of about 200 people.
Wow.
And it was in Las Vegas.
I hope you got a trophy or something.
I got some sort of certificate, but nothing
framed.
Beyond that. The only thing, it's been lost. But one thing I'll say is the first place finisher and the second place finisher, I mean, they borderline had to go to the hospital. I mean,
really?
They were just out of commission. I knew one of them and they just went directly home. And they, you know, whereas I went out that night.
How many did you eat?
I think it was 37 or something like that.
37 wings?
Something like that.
Was there any kind of sauce involved, or you just...
It was a what do you call it? Eater's choice. You could choose whatever you wanted. And the smart money was you don't choose hot. You know
what I mean?
Yeah. So I, the ordinary ones. And yeah, I was very proud. I guess that's not something to be proud of.
It sounds like you're still proud. No, I think if you win anything, you should be proud. And the fact that you were able to keep on keeping
partying on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
after 37 wings,
it was something like that. Or is it 37 White Castles? I once did something that was not a way. My record, I'm trying to think. The good thing about it wasn't a speed eating contest. You know what I mean? It didn't have like 2 minutes or whatever the hell it was. You could just, you could not go more than 30 seconds without eating a wing. So you could kind of take your time.
So you could eat, you just ate until the last person was left standing.
Who could not have any more. And I was.
What did the winner eat?
I don't recall. This is a long time. It's in the 90s. But anyway, how much competitive eating have you done?
Not a lot.
Not a lot.
You do it pretty much every day here.
That's something I don't like to talk about. But
I know you
that's,
don't.
That's true.
But I had to do it because you called me out for dancing. So
before we go,
yes,
Jacqueline, anything else going on in your life?
In my life?
Yeah.
No, I just work.
Well, don't you get some time off?
Look, where am I today?
I know, but it's a Monday at the same time.
True.
Where were you yesterday?
Oh, you know what? I did find a great new shopping spot, and I'm not going to announce it because it's still like not too crowded. So I went there over the weekend.
Well, let's announce it and get some business there.
No. They have good business, but it's not like crazy. And I'm afraid if I say it, it'll get crazy. And I like to bring my dog, so... She doesn't like crowds. I'm doing this for her.
Okay, whatever. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day. Happy 4th.
All right. Happy 4th indeed. All right. And I'm just kidding about the whatever comment. You know, whatever. It's like the new FU of the 21st century. You know what I mean? If you say whatever to somebody,
whatever.
It's not good. No. So I take back the whatever.
All right.
Are you sure you don't want to say? Just say it.
No.
What kind of merchandise did you get?
I got really cool shoes and some tops.
And some tops. You know you're a chick when you call a shirt a top.
What do you call it?
A shirt.
All right.
A top.
They were really cute ones.
All righty. Well, rich
Back
and compelling
story. Back to our regularly
story.
Scheduled programming.
All right. Thanks. We'll check with you later. Right. And thanks, everybody. Happy 4th. Be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Terry's on the phone from, where is this? Pleasant Valley. Where is that? Hi, Terry.
84.
What?
Pleasant Valley. It's upstate New York and next to Poughkeepsie.
How are you?
Good. Happy New Year. We're not Chinese yet. I know it's 4th of July. But the thing I wanted to say, are you familiar with the Jerky Boys back in the 90s, though?
Yes,
of
course.
Did you go back that far with them?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, okay. So you knew about Red and the Two Bar and all that?
Yeah, but
they're unaffiliated.
Hold on, Terry. They're unaffiliated with the Jerky Boys, but I know about the Red and the Two Bar. Yeah, sure. What's up?
That was right. That's right. You know, if they did that today, it would be like, you know, these guys were, you know, it was very funny, but...
What? I can't
Red
hear you.
Like,
wait,
you know,
what?
He was like, he was outraged.
Yeah.
Outraged.
I understand.
It's funny because, you know, I hear bits and pieces of that outrage. It's like, you know, well, I'll wrap your head in with a ratchet.
Yeah.
And the guys, he's making fun of, you know, because he knows he can't touch them. You know, it's funny.
Mm.
But that's good, Greg. You know, it's I talked to you before, and Pleasant Valley is up here in La La Land as far as New York goes. And I just finished a great book. It was called Dannemora. The Escape Killers, 2 weeks of terror, and the largest manhunt ever in New York State.
Oh, yeah?
Charles J. Gardner. Very interesting. Very well written. The guy, you know, it's like, what these guys went through to get out of that place. You know, if they only had the energy to put into something worthwhile, they could have been like millionaires.
Well, these guys, you know, they're really good on planning the escape, but as a prison warden once told me, most escapees are really bad at planning what happens next. They just don't know what to do. They don't have much of a plan, and that's why they almost always get caught or die. They wind up dead or they get caught, and that's what happened in Dannemora, of course. One of those guys is still alive. There was Matt and Sweat.
Wait,
Sweat is still alive and back in jail. Matt got shot right in the middle of the road, right?
You know this.
Yeah.
I was in
Thanks,
the
Terry.
Too.
Thanks, man. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Hey, Christine in Middletown. Oh, Christine. Hello. Welcome back. What? Oh, brother. Hang up on Christine. I'm sorry. We can't hear you. One other. Don in Rockland County. Don, yes. Don, hello. Fire away. What's up? Yes. This 4th of July crew. Brenda in New Jersey. Brenda, yes.
Oh, Craig, happy Independence Day.
Indeed.
And thanks so much for taking my call.
No problem.
I'm calling regarding Cassidy Hutchinson, her allegations against Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know, with the Secret Service thing. Would you consider having these two agents on your show to dispute that? Because they said that they're perfectly willing to testify against Cassidy. And I think that that might be a big help.
Well, I would certainly consider it. And of course, I'd have them on the show. But these guys, I believe they still work for the Secret Service. And it's not going to they're not going to be showing up on the news anytime soon. One of them, Bobby Engel, happens to be related to a guy who worked for my father for a long time. And yeah, he's already disputed this. The Secret Service has let it be known that they don't believe this person. And it's a total disgrace that they let it happen. A total disgrace that they let this this foolish young girl get up there. And I'll say it again. I do think that there's some sort of weirdo boyfriend issue. There's some sort of turmoil in her personal life that prompted her to come forward with these crazy tales. Do we have Adam Kinzinger saying that, oh, she's the most amazing thing that ever happened? Oh, she's 26, and therefore she's a... Yeah, the one I sent you earlier. Oh, it's all right. Yeah, I don't believe it, and but I don't think those guys are going to be on regular news shows anytime soon. You know what I mean there, Brenda?
And what she doesn't realize is that the Democrats, commies, will spit her out for breakfast.
Well,
they'll use her and spit her out. They're not good. She'll never get a job again.
Are you kidding? No, they'll give her. I mean, look at these girls. Stephanie Grisham gets a book deal, shows up on The View. Alyssa Farrah Fawcett, somebody or other, she was the communications director under Trump. She turned on Trump. She gets to go on The View. She might even be the permanent conservative, quote-unquote conservative on The View. They throw these people a couple of bones here and there. They do. And, you know, when you have nothing to lose, they often just go for it. You know what I mean? She was making not much money. I don't think she actually even had a job at the time she came forward. So why not? Why not? And they're dazzled. They think, oh, my God, my life will change if I'm on The View. No, it won't. They'll pay you $1,200, and that's it. You know, get back to work, honey. So I would never do it. I don't care if they offered me millions of dollars to lie to everybody in the country. Here's a note. I know she was lying about this note. There's a note that they found, and it was clearly not written by her. There's absolutely no way this was written by a female. That may sound sexist or whatever. I don't care. This is the chicken scratch of a man. And if it was written by her, then she is, without a doubt, criminally insane. Just criminally insane. It reads, anyone who entered the Capitol without proper authority should leave immediately. And they're drafting statements, I guess, for the president or whatever. But this is not a woman. And she said out loud that this was her handwriting. It's not. It's not. Did you notice also? I don't think they ever would have treated her with this kind of respect. This kind of, ooh, wow, ooh, Cassidy Hutchinson. In part because her name was Cassidy. And I think that's like a really hip name these days. And let's face it, she was tall and thin and tan. And the fake news, they like all that stuff. Brenda? It's true. That's what it's all about. So much of it. Do we have Cassidy standing by one more time? Cassidy. One more time. Let me hear this as we go to break. Cassidy. I do like that.
I first noticed there was ketchup dripping down the wall, and there's a shattered porcelain plate on the floor. The valet had articulated that the president was extremely angry at the Attorney General's AP interview and had thrown his lunch against the wall.
I don't believe it. The valet articulated that? Oh my goodness gracious. How will we ever recover? Be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
What the hell was that? That sounded like Baby Adam Kinzinger. Baby Adam, as I call him. You know, speaking of Illinois, this horrible shooting, six dead, dozens injured. Baby Adam right now represents a portion of Illinois, but will not be after January because redistricting, and he's gone. He's out of there. He is done. Let's see. Oh, by the way, something happened to me yesterday. I was walking around the city with my wife and crossing the street. And not a particularly, you know, it was Sunday night. It wasn't a particularly busy night. We're crossing, what was it, 2nd Avenue, I think. And I noticed there was a fairly large number of motorcycles. They were at the red light. And as I start crossing, they start coming. And they go through the red light. And I'm like, just, geez. And they were very loud. And there were about 10 of them or so. And I motion to the light. And I say, red light. A guy stops, does his little kickstand number, starts yelling at me, pointing at me, and I could tell he was thinking about getting off the bike. And quite frankly, I stood my ground. My wife kept walking to the a little bit further down the street. Not like she was blowing me off, but sometimes she's kind of on her own program when we're walking. And I looked at the guy, and he's looking at me. He's yelling, and I'm saying, what? And then he does a little thing with his bike to make it go, you know, bam, 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 which sounded, quite frankly, like gunshots. I'm pleased to say I did not flinch. And, you know, it was a bit of a standoff. Did I win the standoff? I mean, yes, but not really. I mean, yeah, I did. But the moral of the story is I was an idiot. It was so stupid of me. I'm never going to do anything like that again. This is not a place to, the only time I still do this, I yell at the, I don't yell, but I'll say, hey, red light, buddy. When the city bikes go through the red light, I'm like, red light. And sometimes they'll shout something back. More often than not, they won't. They'll just kind of pretend they didn't hear me. The bikes are supposed to stop at these red lights. They are. They can't just go through them. But the motorbikes, that's really bad. And I was on the street, and they were coming through, you know, our little area, and they were so loud, and they went through a red light. Well, the thing is, I thought about it later. You know, if you're going to go through a red light and you're going to yell at somebody, there's a damn good chance you have a weapon on you or some sort of gun or something like that, right? I mean, there is. There's so many guns out there. Why the hell do I have to have an argument with somebody? He's already gone through the red light. You know, I think I should just blow it off. However, I'm going to remember this for when I'm mayor. And I am taking a serious look at running for mayor. And one of the things I'll do on day one is turn off the city bikes. Turn them off. You know, you can. There's a way to do it. There's a mechanism. You can shut those things down overnight, literally. And there are too many idiots who should not be on bikes in the city, against traffic, through red lights, just crossing the street on the way here. As 3rd Avenue, so I look to my left because the traffic is coming uptown, right? I mean, the traffic is moving north, so I look south to make sure it's okay, and some jerky on a bike is coming from the north. Now, to his credit, he said, watch out, watch out, watch out. And to my credit, I mean, I said, one way, pal. I didn't say it sarcastically. I'm like, hey, pal, come on, it's one way. That wasn't fighting words. I was just pleading with the guy. Am I supposed to look both ways? I don't know. I mean, it's 3rd Avenue. I mean, the traffic is coming from the south. And there was no even bike lane. He's going the wrong way in a bus lane. I think we'd also have to get rid of the bus lanes. We have restricted, you know, the bus only comes through every 15 minutes sometimes. They get their own lane of traffic? No. So much of this stuff. My priority, though, would be getting the woke crap out of the classroom and getting the criminals off the street. You know, you say, well, you can't do that without the bail reform. Well, I think we will be able to get bail reform off. And I think, hopefully, if Zeldin wins, Lee Zeldin, he's the Republican nominee, and I was very critical of him at times during the debate during the campaign, because he was so bad in that debate. But anyway, that's all in the past. We want this guy to win. Zeldin would be a million times better than Kathy Hochul. So we're wishing him a lot of luck. All right, Larry in Queens. Yes, hello. Are you there? Too many buttons? Hello. Goodbye, Larry. Let's go to Sal in Inglewood. Sal. I feel like I'm eavesdropping on the situation in Sal's household. Yes. This could get good. Hang up on Sal. One more, and then I'm done with the calls. Donna in Stratford, Connecticut. Hello, Donna.
Hey, ding, 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 ding. Hi, Greg. I just want to bring this out about President Trump. You know, everyone was always bashing him. Oh, it was a mean tweet. I don't think I like his attitude. Oh, he's immature. Oh, he said this. Oh, he said that. But the way I always thought of him was that he was just talking like a New Yorker. If you're born and raised in New York, then you understand where he's coming from. I didn't particularly care for the way Barack Obama spoke down to people. I didn't care for Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that shouldn't stop people from voting for Trump. I mean, it's so ridiculous. So he tweeted that, what's her name, Warren, he called her Pocahontas. I thought it was funny, and it's sarcasm.
It's funny, and you know what? You're right, though. He's a New Yorker, and there are a couple of things people outside of New York have to understand about Trump. These are the three critical elements. Number one, he's a billionaire, okay? So he's a wild man, all right? By definition, these billionaires are a little bit crazy, in a good way sometimes. And in Trump's case, I think it's a good way. Let's see. He is a New Yorker, and that means he's a bit more upfront, a bit more blunt than they are, say, in Minnesota. And also, he's not a politician. He did not grow up worrying about what he said all the time. These politicians, they're always worried about, oh, this donor gave him this, and this newspaper said that, so I got to – they're always walking this very narrow line, and it's so inauthentic, and that's one of the many reasons why we liked him so much. It seems so authentic. And you know what? Social media is just that. It's social media. It's no big deal. It's a way to get the word out. It's kind of like criticizing somebody for going to a baseball game and yelling their head off, screaming for the team they love, and heckling the other team. It's okay to do that. It's okay. It's not a big deal. And too many people are, you know, they're following these silly rules. These rules usually serve powerful, entrenched interests. And I think we should all lighten up a little bit. Hey, you follow me on Twitter?
Do I?
Yes. Do you?
No, I don't do Twitter at all. I listen to 770 all day long, talk radio, all the hosts. I don't like the Trump bashing that's going on and the DeSantis floating that's going on with Sid and Bernie.
Hey, what's up with those guys? Everybody keeps telling me about that. So they're abandoning Trump and they're going with DeSantis as if DeSantis is the answer. A couple of things. I'm sick of this DeSantis talk. All right, I'll go through it. Number one, he's too young. All right, he's going to be worried about his post-presidency plans. Doesn't mean he's a bad guy. It means he's a human being. Also, you know, for all of the things he's got going for him, he's a career politician. He's been scheming to be a big shot ever since he was in junior high school, all right? And quite frankly, I can't stand those guys. He'll be president someday, and that's great, but there's no rush. He does not have to do it now. This is Donald Trump. This is it. He's gotten us this far. And let's remember this. DeSantis is a great big copycat. He is a total copycat of Trump. And the other thing is, he's not some breath of fresh air. They're going to try to make him into a monster. They've already tried to do that. The left, they're portraying him as a monster. Donna, here, listen to this. This is here is your friends at MSNBC, CNN, saying that Ron DeSantis is essentially they say it out loud. He's a fascist. He's a dictator. I mean, this is what they say about Trump, and now they're saying it about the new guy. Cut four.
Everyone knows my husband, Ron
DeSantis. Stop, 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 stop. Make that cut three.
I hope it's not DeSantis over in Florida, because I think he's
what
a fascist.
What do you call him, DeSantis?
DeSantis. I think he handled COVID miserably. I think he's a fascist and a bigot.
Yes, Ron DeSantis is terrible.
Speaking of the worst people in public office, Florida governor and man describing what Adele's music means to him, Ron DeSantis.
This DeSantis character, and it needs to be said, is a scary dude. I mean, this is the Republican Party is becoming the anti-freedom party, is the anti-American party.
You hear that? Ron DeSantis is anti-freedom and anti-American. So tell that to Sid and Bernie, all right? That's what they're going to say about DeSantis. That's what they're already saying about DeSantis. It's all crazy hype, distortion, weirdo stuff. And they're going to say it about anybody we like who's conservative. I agree with you, Donna, very, very much. Anything else going on?
Well, I just feel that, pushing DeSantis out there right now, it's too premature. I'm going to go with what Dick Morris said yesterday and last Sunday. Great shows. You know, it has to be Trump. It has to be Trump. You know, what was it? 71 million people voted for Trump. We should 81 million. We shouldn't be denied. We have been denied. And all the people that are denying that there was some monkey business going on in the election, they're totally wrong. I mean, just like the regular Joe Blow type of person like me.
Yeah, well, don't call yourself Joe Blow.
I'm just saying there's a lot of people like me out there that, you know, we're pretty convinced that something underhanded went on with the election.
Hey, me too. I am totally convinced, and it's okay. This is a free country. You know, I said it at a dinner table the other night. They almost called security. I mean, I'm like, what? When did we get so uptight? Hey, not only do we want Trump back, but we want Biden out. Thank you, Donna. John Voight, great actor, Hollywood A-lister. I think he's an A-lister. Yeah, he's an A-lister. And here he is out loud calling for Biden to be impeached. And there's a real solid case to be made. Cut 18.
My dear friends, we're all saddened by so much turmoil that has been brought upon this life we live. Can this darkness be lifted? Can we all share joy once again and see eye to eye? We have a troubled nation with much horror from these criminals that are ruining lives. We must stop this now. We must bring back our nation's safety. Our police force must act on righteousness and guard our neighborhoods, our businesses, our children, our elderly, our veterans, and our handicapped. We must protect this nation and bring back safety. We're all feeling very unsafe. We're all angry. And let's remember why. It starts with the seat of the President of the United States. He has wronged this nation's glory. He has taken down our morals, our true gift of the land of the free. He must be impeached. We cannot wait another second having him dictate our path. Let us work together, get him out, and make this country what she stands for, greatness, the land of opportunity, the land of the greatest soil our forefathers fought for. Don't let this President Biden tear down every inch that was sacrificed with blood, sweat, and tears for his dictation of lies. I urge all to see truths. I urge all to make a difference for our children's future, our future, because, my fellow Americans, this land is being broken down. But we, as a nation of God's truths, shall build her up once again and bring her to her feet with glory. God bless America. Much love to you.
Wow. Hey, John Voight, way to go. Loved it. Loved it. Hard to believe Angelina Jolie is his daughter, right? I mean, are they still on the outs? I think they were on the outs for a long time. I hope they're I hate it when that happens, when people don't talk to each other. Beautiful, beautiful. And you're right, John Voight. We don't feel safe. The country's totally, oh, yep, six dead, 24 injured, and the shooter is still out there somewhere. The shooter is still out there. I can't stand it when they call. That's time. Give me a moment. I'll be right back.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the Construction Accident Lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice.
Prior results don't guarantee similar outcomes.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
The reprehensible Liz Cheney, Congresswoman of Wyoming, daughter of Dick Cheney, is doing everything she can to rehabilitate the family name, which is, well, was deservedly mud, totally disgraced. You can't be an honorable person, I'm sorry, when you organize a country to invade Iraq and it's the wrong country. When you tell everybody, tell the entire world that there's weapons of mass destruction there and it turns out that there are no weapons of mass destruction and a million people die for no good reason. Well, that's what happened. And the Cheneys are responsible as much as anybody, the Cheneys and the Bushes. But there's one way back into society after such a terrible, terrible, catastrophic mistake. Bash Trump. And that's what Liz is doing all the time. She bashes Trump, and therefore she has been let back into the fold. And now she can go on the national talk shows and say with a straight face that she's thinking about running for president. She is. Liz Cheney is thinking about running for president. She'd probably do it as an independent. Yeah, it's amazing that you can lose a House seat and then find yourself a candidate for president. Well, she's probably going to lose in Wyoming, and that's what this is all about. The Cheneys, gosh, the Cheneys have done so much damage, right? The Patriot Act, what else? Enhanced interrogations, remember that nonsense? Waterboarding people. There's a reason why you don't abuse enemies' prisoners of war, EPWs, we call them. POWs when they've got our guys, EPWs when we've got their guys. You don't abuse them, and you treat them with a certain level of respect according to the Geneva Convention, because when our guys get captured, we want them treated well as well, okay? We want our POWs to be treated well so they can come back home whole and relatively healthy. But no, since we started, waterboarding these guys, putting them in small boxes, playing loud music all night long, we've telegraph to the world that the rules don't apply anymore and you can do whatever you want to our guys. And they have. And they usually take it a little bit further, like cutting off their heads. Cheney is responsible for so much of that stuff. And oh, by the way, he became a, how much money does he have? $200 million. Liz Cheney herself is worth at least $7 million. Now, she's been in government pretty much her whole life. How in the hell did she get $7 million? You know, she's younger than I am. How did she get $7 million? She worked for the World Bank. She worked for the State Department. She's been, how did she get $7 million? You can look it up. It's on her financial disclosure forms. And Dick Cheney, $100 million, he shows up a drunkard at the age of 23, no skills whatsoever, hangs around Washington, and there he is, presto changeo. One of the most powerful men who invades the wrong country, and they give him $100 to $200 million for his troubles? What else would that son of a bitch be doing? Excuse me. Karen is in Orange County. Karen, yes, hi there.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
Good. Good to talk with you in the fourth. I just wanted to throw my two cents in. I don't know what's worse, the Bodeedle thing about Ron DeSantis or what you just said about Liz Cheney. They have to be completely discarded. We are.
Wait a second. You don't agree with what I said about Liz Cheney?
Totally do agree. In fact, throw both that information on the ground and step on it.
What?
I mean, it's
ridiculous. I don't understand. You like Liz Cheney?
I hate Liz Cheney.
Oh, okay.
I cannot stand it.
All right, but then. Then what did, and you said something about Bo Deedle.
And when Bo Deedle came out with that statement against not reelecting Trump, but reelecting Ron DeSantis, I think he had something to do with that stupid appearance of Ron DeSantis and Chelsea a few weeks ago? I mean, what was that?
All right, so wait. All right, but the way you said it, you made it, you lumped what I said about Liz Cheney into what Bo said about Trump, and it sounded like, all right, so you're mad at Bo, but you agree with me, but you're mad at Liz. I get it, I think. All right, so, well, anyway, is there anything you're happy about?
my name is Karen. I'm not happy too often, right? But what I wanted to say about Trump was, I mean, we've got to get our brains together because we are too fragile right now. I mean, we could not afford to have anybody in that position except Trump, who we already know what he can do, especially in terms of the economy and also with the international affairs. We don't know what Ron DeSantis, I mean, he's a great governor. He's great for Florida. He needs four more years there in Florida. And we need someone who we already know what he can do for us. And that's Trump. We know what he can do with the economy. He's the only one that I really would ever stand behind to straighten us out as to what Biden has done to us.
Yeah,
I mean, just it's unbelievable.
You know what
so
would
I
be? You know what?
You
expressed it great, but you know what I could see Trump doing, and I think this would be very, very good. You know, at the last minute, kind of like Rocky did in Rocky II. Remember this? When he switches, he goes from southpaw to right-handed. He mixes it up. All of a sudden, he switches it up. And Trump, in a campaign, at some point could switch it up. And he could appeal directly to the left. And he said, like he said the night he won the election in 2016, I will be a president for all of you. You can disagree with me as much as you want. It is your constitutional God-given right. And you will not be, well, constitutional, God-given, being that the Constitution is based on liberties that do come from God. You can say what you want. You should not be canceled. You should not be put under surveillance. I think he could appeal to the left at the last second and really win a lot of people over. You know what I mean? We trust him so much that if he wanted to make that nod to the left, and I would agree with him on the substance, I don't know. I think he could throw them for such a loop, and I think it could really work. Anyway, Karen, I thank you for calling. Have a great rest of the 4th. Be careful with the fireworks. A lot of fun, but I lay off them these days. I will see you tomorrow night on the Newsmax show. Tonight is just a repeat. If you want to check it out, you can. Good stuff. Proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. Kinda, sorta, maybe. Ron DeSantis, come see me in 2028. It's not your turn yet.